We're looking tonight at being fruitful at work, and that's a very important topic because for many of you here, this whole topic will consume most of your waking hours day by day. Myself, I have been in continuous employment now for 26 years, and many of those years have been working for the church, so I'm sure there's a number of you would not consider that that's a real job. You might consider it's a real job for one day a week, but what about the rest of the week? But I have had a few other bits and pieces of work experience other than working full-time for the church. I've worked in an iron foundry, I've worked for a print trade union, I've worked at the Engineering Industry Training Board, and I also worked previous to working for the church, I had five years in central London working for what's called a firm of company registration agent. So if you wanted to set up a limited company, you would have come to us and we would have done that for you, or you could have bought one off the shelf. If that doesn't make any sense to you, don't worry. You don't need to understand anything about that. I was at home the other day and we somehow got on to talking about work with my kids, and they were asking, you know, how people got paid, how we decided the salaries in our church. And we said, well, actually, we use the same pay scale for paying salaries in the church as the teaching pay scale. We parallel that. And so I said, you know, effectively, you know, my pay will be similar to someone in the teaching profession. To which my nine-year-old boy said, oh, that's way unfair. And I thought, that's my boy. He understands, he knows the rigors of my job and the stress that it can sometimes bring. But he carried on. He said, teachers work much harder than you do. He said, all you do is you talk on the phone and tell jokes. So that's an insight into a nine-year-old's perspective on what I do all week. I hope that hasn't undermined anything I'm now going to say. But there are two parts to this short talk this evening. I want to talk about having a right attitude to work, and then I want to talk about how to bear fruit at work and what kind of fruit can we expect to see in the workplace. So first of all, looking at having the right attitude to work. That's very important. If you want to bear fruit at work, you've got to have a right attitude to work. And I guess we can fall into one of two wrong attitudes, really. It's possible to undervalue work, to despise it, to see it as somehow subhuman or demeaning, maybe a necessary evil that we have to experience. Or perhaps for many, just seeing it as a means to an end. In other words, for some, work is a means just to get income. And I don't want to minimize the importance of income. We need income personally, and the church needs income as well. And so that is an important part of work, but it's not the primary focus of why we work. And if we undervalue work, then it can lead to laziness and idleness, and you find there are some quite searching scriptures about that. I also find in the Christian world, it's possible, and I find this at times with some of our young people, to see full-time Christian ministry as the ultimate goal. And to feel, well, that's what I'm really going for. And if only somehow I could be free from work, then I would be really free to serve God. And I want to suggest to you that that's actually a bad attitude. And if there are young people here, certainly I would say for our young people at home, we would encourage folks to really look to serve God fully, wholeheartedly in their workplace. That would be one of the ways we would assess really their walk with God. And because as we'll come on to see, there are some very important aspects to work that if God has got for some a place in ministry that is full-time serving in a some kind of Christian ministry context, then it's vital to go through that work experience to be prepared in many ways for that. It's also possible to overvalue work to the extent that work can become the central focus to a person's life. And that then is a form of idol worship, really. It's an idolization of work. And it is possible for people to see work as the primary basis for their security, their identity, their sense of value and worth, for fulfillment, for influence, for status. There will be many people in this world that would see work as the primary basis for that. Ironically, people that undervalue work sometimes end up overvaluing it in this sense, that sometimes there can be this goal of escaping work. If I can escape work, then I will find freedom. And normally that freedom will be understood in terms of more leisure. But of course, the ticket to accumulating more leisure is more money, which means more work. And so people that undervalue it and say, if I could just be sure of this thing, end up actually being very driven and having their lives dominated by it, because they're trying to get to that point where they can escape it and find the freedom that they are looking for. So if we're not careful, work can drive and dominate our lives in a wrong way. Listen to this version of Psalm 23. We sung the real version earlier. Listen to this example of someone whose life has become very work and clock dominated. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressures shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. I believe Rob Parsons was right when he said, no one has ever been heard to say on their deathbed, I wish I had spent more time at the office. So it's possible to undervalue work, possible to overvalue it. Let's look at a godly attitude. And that is that God made us to work. It is part of our calling as human beings. It's not the only part of our calling. He made us for many other things as well, primarily to enjoy relationship with Him, also to enjoy relationship with others in family and community, and to enjoy, rule over, and care for God's creation. That's why He made man. And that includes work. In there, it says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That's interesting. That reference to work comes before sin came in. And sometimes I think we tend to think that work must be a result of sin. But actually, work was there before sin came in. The trouble is, sin did have an effect on work, as it had an effect on every other part of our world. It distorted it and tainted it, and actually it makes it very clear in Genesis that a curse came on work as a result of sin. And so work now involves sweat, hard toil, at times a sense of futility, difficulty, and frustration. These are factors that often accompany our work now. Now, the wonderful thing about Jesus coming, His death, His resurrection, is that He came to reverse the effects of the fall. And primarily that has to do with restoring our relationship with God. And now in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've found peace, purpose, identity, freedom, security, fulfillment. We've found all those things in Him. So we do not need to pursue those things anywhere else. We've found them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that releases us to have a balanced, healthy approach now to the rest of life, including family, community, work, play, and rest. Work is no longer to be avoided. We find in the New Testament that idleness actually is a basis for church discipline. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 to 12, if you want to look that up sometime. Actually, idleness is a basis for church discipline. I would like to bring to you and suggest to you that work now should be seen in these terms, not as something to be escaped, not as something that's a means to an end, but work should be seen as worship. It's part of our worship to God. Worship isn't when we just sing songs. Worship is living the whole of your life for God, honouring Him and putting Him first, pleasing Him in every part. That's what worship is. And so your work actually is now part of your worship. It's not a means to an end. Your work, no matter how mundane, no matter how often at times you think, well, what is the purpose of this? What is the point in what I am doing? It can be a massive, massive change to realize, in terms of your attitude, actually, this is part of my worship to God. Listen to what Colossians 3, verses 22 to 24 say. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's what's happening in your workplace. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And everything you do this week in your place of work, you should be doing it knowing, hey, I'm doing it for God. It's part of my worship. It's part of the overflow of my love and my gratitude for all that He has done for me. That applies whether your work is physical, mental, in one of the service professions, whether it's domestic, at home with the kids, whether it's administrative, whatever. First and foremost, it is for Him. In other words, we are all in full-time Christian work. Okay, that's how you see your employment. It's your full-time Christian work. And when you see it that way, as part of your worship to God, it gives to your work a dignity and a purpose that perhaps you hadn't realized before. It also enables you, when you have that kind of attitude to work, to begin to bear fruit. And I just want to look at that now, just for the last few moments of my time. How to bear fruit at work. And I'm sure there are many areas of fruitfulness. I just want to look at three. I'm sure they overlap. But one of the main ways in which you bear fruit at work is God does things in you. That's the first thing, in you. Work presents major opportunities for character growth. I found that right through my working life, particularly the job that I had before I started working for the church. That job, 5 years, company registration work in London, was a tough job. But looking back on it, I can identify lesson after lesson, and particularly things that God did in my character in that job. These are some of the ways I grew in that job. This is what God did in me in that period. I learned to submit to and respect a boss who was demanding, rude, unpleasant, and at times unreasonable. And working submission and respect out in that context wasn't easy. And one of the things was to learning that my work is worship to God. It's Him that I'm serving. I also, if you think that means, well, does that mean you just let yourself be a doormat? I would say the second important thing I had to learn in that job was learning to resist bullying. And we had a prayer meeting recently at our church, a small prayer meeting, and I wasn't at this one, but someone just felt that they should pray for people who experience bullying at work. And they said, and so the person leading the meeting said, if you identify with that in some way, well, half the prayer meeting stood up. Half the people there were acknowledging that there were, in some way, they were in a bullying atmosphere at work. And I had to learn how to resist bullying. At times I had to refuse certain situations where I was being asked to do things that were unreasonable or that involved lying to clients. And I did that. But I had to learn to do that in a way that continued to express submission and respect. And again, those are interesting issues to try and work through. As a result of it, I nearly lost my job. My job was being advertised for. Other people were coming in to receive interviews for it. But within a few months, the whole thing had turned around. I think I managed somehow, with God's help, my boss began to respect and trust the step that I had taken in certain areas. And within a few months, I was promoted to managing a department in the company. It was a very bizarre turnaround in the space of a few months. One of the other things I learned was the way to motivate my little team and my colleagues, and that was through serving them. I only asked my team to do things that I was prepared to do or had done in the past. I was also willing to cover rather than expose their mistakes. And I had to learn to trust God in times of stress and in times of overload. I had, when I was managing this department, I had two or three people working for me, but we were very overworked. And I would say most days, I just did not know how I was going to get everything done that needed to be done. But I would find that often at the right time, people, it was just a small company, but people would from other departments would come up and whisper in my ear, "Have you got anything for me to do?" And at times, I had a department of two or three, but sometimes I would have six to eight other people in this company working for me. And it was just a remarkable way in which I could meet time schedules and deadlines and require me to learn to trust God when I felt there was no way through in the stress. So there are things that God wants to do in you and in your character in the workplace. It's one of the ways in which he wants to bear fruit. He also wants to bear fruit in your colleagues' lives and with clients, perhaps. And I would say it's very important that people know you are a Christian. I hope in your workplace or your workplace of study, for some of you, that people know you are a Christian. I would say that's vital because the Bible says that you are an ambassador for Christ. And it's less easy to live and act like an ambassador if nobody knows that you are a believer. And even again, just knowing that you are an ambassador for Christ in your workplace elevates your role. You may feel you've got a very, very mundane job in your place of work. And that may be true in some senses. The reality is, though, you are an ambassador for Christ in that place. What higher calling can you have? You represent Jesus Christ. And once you've nailed your colours to the mast on that issue, then every time people observe your work, your behaviour, your responses, the way you talk about managers and colleagues, every time they take note of your sense of humour, then Jesus, his church, and the Christian faith are on the line. That's a scary place to be in. But that's when you're an ambassador, that's what it's like. Because in your workplace, you may be the only Christian that people know. And so they're watching you because they think this is how Christians behave. This is how Christians respond. And it's a bit of a scary place to be in, but it's an important one to realize that you're an ambassador for Christ. It talks in Titus 2, verse 9 and 10. It's talking about the workplace. It says, in every way, it says, if you work well, and you don't answer your bosses back, and you don't steal from them, it says, in every way, you will make the teaching about God, our Saviour, attractive. So that's part of what you have to play there. So it's very appropriate for you in the workplace to work hard, to refuse to gossip, to not steal from the company in terms of time, stationery, internet usage, company property, all kinds of different ways. We're to be distinctive. We're to be part of the culture of the kingdom of God. We're serving God in that place. And the Holy Spirit is very easily offended. And I find too many believers today, I find this in my home church sometimes, I pick up attitudes about work and things like taking a sickie. And I think, no, we're from a different kingdom. Just because everybody else does it, just because you get away with it, doesn't mean it's right. You're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ in the place of work. We're part of a different culture. And we're going to find it less easy to bear fruit if we're offending the Holy Spirit in our attitude to our work or our employer or our colleagues. Let me just tell you just one quick story. I used to often pray for my colleagues at work, and I used to get in early, unlock the office, and I would be there a good half hour before people. Sometimes, if I had time, I would go round the office. We had about 30 people in our company, and I would stand by people's desks and pray for them by name, particularly if I'd had conversations with them recently about the Lord. And there was one girl, a Malaysian girl, who I had never had opportunity to share the gospel with, and I often go and stand by her desk and pray for her to get saved. And I had masses of opportunities to share Jesus with people in this workplace, never with her, never showed the slightest bit of interest. Several years after I left, I was on the phone to someone, and I said, "Oh, by the way, Yeng's got that religion thing now, like you." And I said, "Oh, please, when you next hear from her, get her to ring me." And she did. And her story was that she went back to see her family in Malaysia to find that all her brothers and sisters and her parents had all got saved in this church in Malaysia. She went with them into the meeting, and just the presence of God came on her. She started weeping. She just encountered God in this church. One of her brothers was leading the worship. Just extraordinary. And she just thought, "No, I must wait to get back to England to see if this is real and genuine." She did. She waited till she got back to England, went to a Baptist church in North London, gave her life to Christ there. Met a Christian guy, and they went out to Singapore for a season. They led an Alpha course that was very fruitful in Singapore. I was so encouraged. I didn't lead her to Christ. My contribution was very small in her life in terms of her coming to faith in Christ. But I feel I had a part in sowing. And I want to encourage you to be sowing in your workplace as well, because a harvest will ultimately come. And lastly, but bearing fruit in you, bearing fruit in those that you work amongst. And lastly, and very important, and I can hardly touch on this, but bearing fruit in the world. Because the realm of work is much bigger than what is happening in you, and bigger than what's happening in those that you work with. You see, Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. And in Jesus, God's rule and authority came in and invaded Satan's territory and took it back. And God has entrusted that to us as well. We're to be those that bring in the kingdom of God in this world. It's not that he's just called us to do church in a little corner and let the rest of the world get on with everything else that they do. No, rather, as God's people, we are to invade this world's culture with the rule of Jesus Christ, with the kingdom of God. And that involves business, science, social affairs, arts, education, politics, education, law and order, all of that and far more. As Christians, as a church, and as churches, we bring in the kingdom into every part of our society. And so that has implications for your workplace. Your presence in the workplace goes beyond just your behavior. You are salt and light. You bring in the rule of Jesus Christ into your workplace in some shape or form. So often you don't realize it, but I firmly believe that every believer that's in a workplace, their very presence there restrains evil and corruption in that place. And I believe on a positive side, actually you bring the impact and influence of God to your sphere of work. You may not feel it. The devil will tell you it's not true, but believe it. I went back to a work reunion, and there wasn't anybody there that I knew. I introduced myself to one guy, and he said, "Oh, what's your name?" So I said, "Steve Wolford." And he said, "What, the Steve Wolford?" So I thought he'd confused me. There used to be an Arsenal player called Steve Wolford. But clearly he was referring to me. And he says, "Oh," he says, "you're a legend." So I said, "Really?" I said, "In what way am I a legend?" He said, "Oh, well, people still say," this is the old company I work for, "they still say this workplace has never been the same since I had left." And now, I would have had no sense of influencing the atmosphere in any great way when I was there. But there's people saying, after I've gone, the place hasn't been the same since. This is some years further on. And I thought, praise God. That is the kingdom of God at work in a workplace. It's not due to me. It's due to the presence of God in me and in you in the workplace. And so I want to encourage you, keep going for it. Believe for influence and impact in your place of work. Believe that you'll bring in righteousness, truth, integrity, justice to your place of work. That's the kingdom of God coming in. And I believe men particularly need to hear this, because men particularly love a sense of adventure. I'm not saying women don't, but men particularly want something to give their lives for, lay their lives down for. And sometimes I think they can perceive that becoming a Christian is like, well, it's just being a good boy now and going to lots of church meetings. I want to say no, it's very different. It's about bringing the kingdom of God in to every place that you have influence. That may be large, like it was with Joseph and Daniel in the Old Testament, or it may be small, but wherever you are, it counts. So work isn't irrelevant, it's a vital part of your calling to increasingly bring in heaven's rule on earth. I just want to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to the worship team for tonight. I just want to pray for those of you, particularly who are in workplaces across our city. Father, I want to pray right now for people across this room who are in places of work, in whatever shape or form that is, and throughout this week. And I pray, Lord God, that as a result of tonight and as a result of your word and these reminders, I pray that you would strengthen people and that you would increase their faith and that you would increase their sense of expectation this week. I pray that they would begin to realize in a new way that my work is worship towards God, and that they will grow in their expectation of fruit in their lives, in those that they work with, and out into the world as your kingdom comes in and has more and more impact through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.